Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It was summer break, and we, my family, didn't go on any trip, unlike every break. I was just 8 years old, and my younger sister was 3. We were playing along with other kids who lived in the same building as us, just on different floors. The building is not exactly an apartment building, it's more of a multi-storied house. The front gate is a bit further from there and the only entrance and exit of the building. So, since we were downstairs and playing, anybody who would enter or exit the building would be visible to us and we'd greet them because every tenant knows us and we know them, as well as their family members who might visit them. A new person visiting any tenant is rare but not impossible, and right adjacent to the big entrance gate is a small old-style window with grill, but it has a small opening at the bottom. We were all playing, but then I got tired and sat on one of the chairs placed on the porch area. From there, the window thing was on my right side and I could see the gate clearly. I was just looking out when I noticed a man staring at the gate, and he was able to look at my sister and friends through that gate. It concerned me when I realized that he wasn't even trying to look away and was just staring at them blankly. I turned around from where I was sitting to signal my friend to move to the other side, away from his sight, but she didn't understand. Frustrated, I turned back and was about to stand up when my gaze fell on the guy and he was now staring at me. My body froze and I could feel fear creeping up on me. I couldn't move, I don't know why, but I stared back at him and suddenly he started smiling. And when I say smiling, I mean full-on grinning from ear to ear.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And that scared the soul out of me, and I mustered some courage, got up, and ran towards my friends. I didn't tell them anything and just asked them to go upstairs with me, which thankfully they did without questioning. I didn't tell anything about this to my parents because I thought that they would stop me from going downstairs to play. The next day, we came to play again, and I looked through the window just to make sure that he wasn't there. Fortunately, he wasn't, or so I thought. 15 minutes in and I spotted that guy again. He was, again, standing at the very spot and staring at us. At me. I tried to play it cool because my friends knew nothing about him, but I couldn't for long and we went back inside again. From what I remember, this happened for 3 to 4 days and now my friends started complaining about how I didn't let them play and that they had to come back earlier than they were supposed to. On the 5th day, or 4th, I don't remember correctly, I made up my mind not to pay attention to him and just focus on playing. We were playing cricket that evening, and I was batting. I hit the ball hard, causing it to go over the gate, which was a very normal thing, and as per the rule made by us, the one responsible must fetch the ball. My heart started beating because I could see his grin getting wider and creepier. He went towards the ball in the road and picked it up. He then held his hand out, gesturing me to come and take it. I was scared, but I had to go, so I did. As soon as I reached to take the ball from his hand, he bent close to my ear and his words are still ringing clearly in my ears to this day. "I'm a good man. Look at the window when you go inside. I'll leave something for you." That sent shivers down my spine and I ran with the speed of light. After we were done playing, I saw him sliding a piece of paper through the little opening. He then looked at me, grinned, and waved goodbye. I grabbed the paper and opened it. He had written his phone number and asked me to call him at 2 in the afternoon, knowing my parents would be asleep by that time. It was also written that if I didn't do it, my friends' lives would be in danger. As an 8-year-old, I didn't know any better, so I called him using my mother's phone. He picked up and I didn't have the courage to say anything, so I stayed silent, and he said, "You're a good girl, just like me. You should come stay with me. Come outside. I'm waiting to pick you up. Since I lived upstairs, I went to the balcony and he was actually standing near the gate, looking directly at me, waving and smiling. I couldn't contain it anymore, so I started crying and disconnected the call. I ran inside and bawled my eyes out in my room. Thankfully, my mother didn't wake up and I cried it all out. I didn't go out for the next few weeks and everybody kept asking me about it. I still didn't tell them. That guy stopped coming too, and I don't remember when he stopped coming, but he did, and I was relieved. And eventually this experience just started fading, and I grew up. Fast forward 10 years. I was 18, and my mother asked me to buy some snacks. I took my sister and went out. And the shop that I had to go to was at the end of the road, several houses away, so not too far. I was standing in a queue when I felt uncomfortable because the man behind me kept pushing me. Annoyed, I looked at him only to realize that it was the same man. My face went pale, and I could feel my heart throbbing in my throat. I tried not to panic and calmed myself down by telling myself that he couldn't do anything in public. There were tons of people there, and that gave me a sense of security. As soon as my order came, I took out my wallet hastily to pay, but he beat me to it. The owner looked at him weirdly and then at me because I was a regular there, and he was seeing this man for the first time. I paid for it anyway, and the owner politely asked him to take his money back. I gave the bag to my sister and asked her to go home and inform our mom about a man following us, and just in case he attacked, I'd have a backing and she would be safe too. Our house is within the vision range of the shop, so I waited for her to get inside. And now it was my turn to go home. As soon as I stepped out, the man followed me and he said something like, "You're a beautiful lady now. We should catch up." I kept walking and walking, but now that we were far from the shop, he started speed walking and I had to walk faster. I could feel goosebumps all over my body. I started running and I could see him catching up to my speed when the owner called for him loudly, saying that some of his money was still at the counter and asking him to come back, which gave me enough time to get inside and lock the gate. I haven't seen him since that day, and it's been 2 years. I'm 20 now, and I hope to never meet him again, and I hope I never see him again. I don't know why, but it's instilled a sort of paranoia in me, and I dread seeing him when I turn 28.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
It was October 2020. I'm a 17-year-old girl, but was 16 at the time of this story. I was walking into my local skate park with a friend, let's call her Chloe, to sit down at the gazebo so we could hang out, when a man, let's call him Michael, approached us with concha and coke and asked if he could eat his bread there. A concha is a Mexican sweetbread, which is basically just bread with some cookie dough crumble on it. Chloe and I tried to ignore him when he sat down next to us, but it was extremely hard when he started to make conversation. Michael offered Chloe and I cigarettes, and I declined, but Chloe accepted, which I was fairly irritated with her for, as that basically gave him an opening to start chatting to us. Michael sat crisscrossed next to us and started rambling on and on about how he had crystal meth and how he wanted to smoke it, but he didn't have a pipe. He asked us if we did, and we obviously told him no. Then he proceeded to pull out a baggie filled with what I can only assume was meth and offered it to us. I began to get a bad feeling in my stomach at that point, as we both declined his offer, and he put it away, lighting up a cigarette instead. He talked nonsense for the next 30 minutes that Chloe and I were sitting there for, going on about how he was Michael Jackson and we were his Lisas. Lisa 1 and Lisa 2, he called us. He didn't once ask us for our names. He just made them up. He said he was a musician and that he was going to make it big once he got off the streets. Chloe and I looked at each other, and I gave her the look that I wanted to leave. She got the hint, so I told Michael it was time for me to go home, and that I needed to be back by dinner time or I'd be in trouble. He looked at us with an angry expression and said, "Okay, can I get a hug?" Chloe told him no, but before I could even respond, he grabbed me and pulled me into a tight bear hug, kissing the side of my face. Chloe just stood there and said nothing, and did nothing. Michael released me after I attempted to push him off, and I had tears in my eyes. Then I got up, and before I could even start walking, he grabbed my hand and asked if we wanted to hang out again. Chloe and I sped walked away, and thank God my best friend Evan lived about 5-minute walk from there. Chloe and I got out of Michael's view and bolted for Evan's house. I got up to his room and immediately fell into his arms, crying my eyes out. I didn't tell my mum until later that week, when I saw the man again when we were grabbing dinner downtown. I started to have a panic attack, and when we got into the car, I told her everything that had happened. Michael kissing my face, me trying to get away with Chloe, and even going to Evan's house after the incident. We filed a police report afterwards, and even after a year, my case is yet to be closed. Michael is currently residing in a mental hospital, so they can evaluate his condition off of meth and see if he actually is capable of going to court or if he is too mentally unstable to get charged with anything. I hope someone sees this story and doesn't make the same mistake I did. Don't let people take advantage of you.
When I was 19, I was a Marine, and had stupidly used my military perks to get a home loan and buy my first house. I moved a barracks room worth of stuff into this place that seemed to me like a palace. Of course, I went out and bought some bar stools, a futon to sleep on, until I got a bed and some used coffee tables for my TV. I also had a dog with me. I was unpacking my meager belongings in the living room, and noticed the car had pulled in my driveway and blocked me in. I walked down, and there stood a man offering to sell me a home security system. The man was dressed in khaki and a polo with a name tag that I can't recall, and the car didn't have a logo on it. It should have been a red flag for me, but I figured that some people in the job didn't drive company vehicles. He gave me his card. I don't even remember the company he told me he was with, to be honest. Here was a friendly salesman giving me his speech about needing a system and all the perks that would come with being able to wash the exterior of my house at any time. As a low-ranking military member, I knew I couldn't afford yet another thing, so my mind was working to try to get this man to go away. Even considered ninja chopping him or whatever it was we Marines do in hand-to-hand just to get him to leave. But I'm a sort of passive person. I'm supposed to be nice. Now, we'll call it polite. I won't be rude to someone doing their job. I've been in customer service, so I could relate. I tried politely declining his offer after he had tried to show me some stuff on his iPad, but you know how persistent the types can be. I'll admit, my own stupidity when answering his questions like giving out too much information. Do you live here alone? Now, I live here with my wife and our large 3 dogs. At least I added in the large part. Erner dogs hadn't actually moved in yet, and hers were just fat, though they were more vicious than my own good boy. The 2 women living together probably seemed like easier targets. I also mentioned being a Marine when he asked. He had seemed a bit shocked, but wouldn't be deterred. What kind of security system do you have? My dogs and me? Not the best answer I could have given. I wasn't exactly intimidating. I mean, I would be terrifying if I had a gun or something.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I've been using my whole life, and I've never missed a target, alive or inanimate. If you would invite me in, I could show you the best places to set off cameras. He mentioned more than a few times. Each time made me more and more creeped out, thinking that he wanted to potentially rob me. Not that there was much to take, and despite being an assault victim, not all I could consider was possible burglary, and made sure that he stayed away from my house while we talked. We were outside for about 15 minutes total, and he spent most of the time trying to politely get away from him and retreat inside. I wound up at my wit's end with social niceties and just walked away, leaving him standing alone in my front yard. I walked into my house and locked the door. He got into his car and left, and I thought nothing more of it. After some unpacking, I couldn't do much. I had nowhere to put most of it. I ate some junk food and put together the futon. I got it all decked out with my fluffiest blankets, made sure the doors and windows were locked, and went to lay down in the living room. Looking back, I'm not sure why I didn't put it in the bedroom. They all have blinds in the rooms, take a bit of getting to. Perhaps I'm wanting to be near an exit, or some context, my back door is a double glass pane door. At the time, I didn't have curtains on, but I did have blinds in the kitchen window. My kitchen, living room, and dining room are all connected, but there's a wall in the living room that I strategically situated my futon, again, so it couldn't be seen by the back doors or the front door window. Call me paranoid, whatever. I had been laying down for a few hours, and about 11, my dog off the futon and went to the back door. My dog is large and looks like a Rottweiler in coloring. He's a Coonhound Mix, but I guess city people don't have hunting dogs. But he's never heard anything in his life. He'll greet strangers at the door with the tail wagging, hardly barks. He stood back there for a bit and mined a few times. I ignored him. It was probably just a squirrel. But then he started growling. A sound that I'll never forget. It sent terror straight through me as I sat alone in the dark. I'd only ever felt that fear once, when a mountain lion screamed, and I realized that I was powerless against nature. But that's a story for a different thread. The point is, these sounds are designed to scare you, and it petrified me. I was frozen and wanted to whip out to hide, to call the cops, but I realized it was someone was out there, and they'd for sure see my phone light and know where I was. So while my dog stayed stationed at the back door, I talked myself up just enough to move off the couch and investigate. Still scared out of my mind, I slunk to the kitchen and grabbed a kitchen knife, one of the only utensils I had, thanks MA, and crept to the kitchen window. I was squatting amongst the cabinets so I couldn't be seen from any windows, bouncing a little, trying to gear up to peel back the blinds. My brain was telling me irrational things, horror stories that I had read come to life. To be real, I was ready to just cower and give up. I'm not a brave person. I was in communications, for God's sake, pretty far from any life-threatening situation. Well, not one of them involves people in my house, in my one safe space, my hideout, my protection from anything outside wanting in. I've always been afraid of home invasions that stem from an incident when I was younger that isn't even really worth further mentioning. The point being, if someone dares into my safe place, it's not safe anymore. I thought I couldn't get scared more in that moment, but then I saw a male figure in my backyard, and my heart dropped. I wasn't very far from the window I was looking out of. He was bold enough not to wear anything over his head, and I saw the blonde hair in the moonlight. It only took me a few seconds to recognize the security salesman in the dark. He was on the edge of my porch, watching my back door, watching my dog. I jumped up quickly, climbed over the bar counter, and turned on the light as it went toward the back door to let my still growling dog out, in hopes that he did at least get rid of the man, if not injure him. No dice. As soon as the lights came on, he had just enough time to go low, the low part of the fence, to safety, before my dog even got off the porch. I didn't sleep that night. My dog sat on the futon with me. Comas could be having done this job. The next morning, I found a police report, but I couldn't tell his name or what company he was with, having lost the card that he gave me. They sent some patrols through the area, and I found out that all legitimate salesmen should give an idea of Honda request. That night, I had two friends stay with me, ready for him to come back to either try to rob me or commit some nefarious acts, or be trying to scare me into home security. It didn't come back. I haven't seen him since. My dog hasn't growled like that since either, but I'm terrified for the next time that I hear it.
It happened during the summer vacation when I was 11. My parents and I always go to South India for at least 1 month to see the family. Now, during the whole month of June, there is what we call in our little village the Mango Festival,
Mengani Festival, and it's a religious festival where divinity statues are exhibited in parades. There is a large alley filled all along with small temporary stands where people can buy a lot of different things like street food, fruits, toys, clothes and more, all at very cheap prices. My mom and I always go to these stores in the evening at around 5 or 6 when it was already dark, because going during the daytime is just too exhausting with the unbearable heat plus the ground. At that time though, the alley is still very bright, lit up by the stores and decorative lights. That day, my mom decided to stop at a shoe flip-flop stand to buy me some. The seller proceeded to show my mom the collections, and when he noticed my present, he just locked his eyes on me. In the beginning, it didn't bother me much. I just thought that I might look like someone he knew. But he kept staring at me the whole time. He was picking his moment to stare at me, and when my mom was looking in my direction, he'd stop and he'd stare back again when she looked away. It was obvious at that point though, and it made me very uncomfortable.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Eventually, we had to leave without buying anything. But the seller insisted that we should come tomorrow because he had a new shipment of whatever new collections were arriving. 2 days later, my mom called me to go to the festival stands, but I was reluctant to go this time. I told her I was genuinely tired and didn't want to go. But she yelled at me, saying that I was always lazy and wasting my summer vacation by staying at home all day. So I went with them. Our first shop was the cheap jewelry store. Then my mom made me do something that I always hated, but she did it all the time in order to help me with my shyness. She said, "Take my purse and go to the shoe stand by yourself and buy a pair that you like. I'll be watching you from here." I refused at first, but she progressively raised her voice. So to avoid being humiliated in front of other kids, I did what she said. When he saw me approaching his stand, he welcomed me with his unsettling smile. He proceeded to show me all his new sandals. And as I was his only customer, he even took the time to put the sandals on me, one by one, asking if they fit well. At that point, I just took whatever shoe quickly to get out of there. And now, it was the time for the checkup. I was and still am stressed to order or talk to a vendor. I used to stutter a lot during the social situations, but this time it was different. It wasn't only stress and this gut feeling telling me that this man is strange and that I shouldn't be here with him alone. I handed him the money and was waiting for my change. But his demeanor suddenly changed. He became fidgety and showed frustration over the cash register. He then said that the cash register had broken for some unknown reason and that he wouldn't open. I glanced outside to see if my mom was still watching me. And she was. And when we made the eye contact, she made a gesture with her hand telling me to hurry. She was observing at an angle, and I was next to the cash register at the corner. I couldn't see a property anymore. And at the same time, the seller told me that he had another cash register in his trailer. So then he took my money and went there. It was a sort of open shop, so you could see his trailer if you were right in front of it. He went inside his trailer for a long time, and I could hear the voices of another person inside. They were talking, but I couldn't understand exactly what they were saying. So for around 10 minutes, I was just standing there waiting awkwardly and peeking back at my mom occasionally to make her aware of my presence at the checkout. Then another client entered the shop and was looking at the merchandise. She asked me where the vendor was, and I told her he was in the trailer. At the sound of our conversation, the vendor peeked from the trailer window and said to the women, "We aren't taking any more clients, ma'am. We were closing soon." The woman left soon after, but it seemed strange that he decided to close so suddenly and so early. It was only 6 p.m., and usually the shops closed late between 8 or 9. I couldn't leave, though, as I was still waiting to get my change back. Then the vendor picked me up from his trailer's window again and said that he'd finally managed to get my change. He then made a sign with his hand, as if to say, "Come here." I wasn't sure about what he wanted, so I said nothing and waited where I was awkward. After a moment, he peeked again and said, "You can come now." I was confused. Why couldn't you just come outside and give me my change back? And why the hell he was taking so much time? I didn't say anything, but instead I peeked back outside to see my mom. And when she saw my concerned face, she finally decided to come and help me. I said to the seller, "Actually, I'm waiting for my mom." And when my mom entered the shop, the seller got out of his trailer almost immediately and handed my change back. He wasn't frustrated anymore, but smiling and very talkative, and even asked my mom if we were from here, to which she responded that we were from France and we were spending our summer vacation in our hometown.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My mom and I went to other shops, but I could still see other clients coming to the shoe shop, even though he was going to close. By the time mom had finished her shopping, it was 8 p.m., and we were on our way back home. I could still see the lights from his shop when we got closer. And I couldn't even see he was using the same cashier that was supposed to be broken. At that age, I didn't realize how creepy this whole thing was. It just seemed odd and awkward. But years later, I finally realized that his gaze, his behavior, and his touches were all so wrong. And that night, I bet his intentions were even worse. Luckily, that night was the last time I ever saw him. And during the festival of the following year, I couldn't find his stand anymore. And his slot was occupied by a street food stand. So yeah, creepy shoe seller, let's never meet again, please.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.